Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. The Lord, as we come before you and look at this passage, help us to see who we are in you. Help us to see the life that we should be living for you. Enable us to understand who we are and live in accord with your way. Be with my words, may they be true to you, and may we all be blessed by your truth here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was in a musical in high school. The name of it was Anything Goes. And one of the lyrics to the, it was a Cole Porter musical, and one of the lyrics to the theme song is, "The world has gone mad today. Good's bad today. And black's white today. And day's night today. Anything goes." Now, I hear a lot of Christians talking these days, and they're saying the same thing. You know, things haven't changed much since this musical was made in 1934. And people just have things upside down. Now, some of the Colossians were seeking to set things right by making a list of rules. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. And Paul says, no, that's not the way to stay away from the things that we need to stay away from. We need to understand who we are in Christ. We need to understand that we have died with Christ and been raised with Him. We need to understand something about ourselves. Now, my son's in the Army, and does anyone know the Army recruiting slogan? Be all that you can be in the Army. Be all that you can be. Well, I'm going to give us a little different slogan. Become who you are. If you're a Christian, you are in Christ. Become who you are. Understand that your identity is wound up in who Christ is. Understand who you are. Become who you are in Christ. The answer to asceticism, a list of do's and don'ts: do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. The answer to that is not antinomianism, the lack of any law, so anything goes. The answer to that is a recognition of who we are in Christ, the identity that we have in Christ, and the fact that He has changed us from the inside out, that He has changed our hearts so that we can understand His truth and then put it into practice, and He continues to sanctify us in our lives. The answer to that strict asceticism is understanding our identity in Christ. It is becoming who we are. As Paul looks at this, he looks at this passage in the particular part. This is a whole theme that he's got going through Colossians chapter 3. We looked at the overview last week. here, we're looking at the things that we need to put to death. Death to the old. And that might be a rallying cry through the week. If you're faced with various temptations, just say, death to the old. Get rid of the old. And that's what he starts with here. He begins with putting to death the old. I hate funny. Anyway, that's funny. I even found this week that, might have been last year, I don't know what it was, but, my plumber came in, I think it was last week, my plumber came in and, he needed to do a pressure test for the gas system. I couldn't do that myself. And he said, well, while I'm doing that, you have to leave it on for an hour and see if it goes down. While I'm doing that, I'll fix some of your leaks. So, we go up to the first leak upstairs and he looks and he says, oh no. And I could tell by looking at his face, he hated this kind of plumbing. Right up against the wall, there was no way to cut anything out, so he very carefully mended it just by soldering the copper pipe together. And so then I turned on the water, and things were spraying all over the place. And he said, turn it off! And I turned it off, and he said, well, you got to replace your shower, because there's something there, but it's between the wall and a 2x4. And I can't tell where it's coming from, but it's there, so you're just going to have to cut out that 2x4 or something and replace your shower. And so I said, okay. So I take him down to the other place where I knew I had leaks. And we go down, and I say, well, there's one in the corner over there, and there's one up against the wall over here. And he says, can you call things? He says, why don't we wait on this? You don't want to do that one either. That's okay. But... you know, even after I fixed the part that was behind the 2x4, I replaced it. There was this huge hole that no one was going to patch. I replaced that, and then I turned the water on, and guess what? The part he patched was still leaking. So, I replaced the whole thing. Taking the whole thing out and replacing that whole section. You know, a lot of us try to patch our lives. Well, if I'm real careful here, if I don't go too far here, I put a little patch here so I don't step too far into the temptation, then I'll be okay. That's not Paul's idea here. Paul's idea is to put to death those things that are part of the old. To put it to death. Get rid of it completely. It's very strong. Put it to death. Don't dabble in the things with which you are tempted. Put them to death. Don't dabble. It needs to be cleaned right out and replaced by what we'll talk about next, the new man, and replaced by those things that are part of God's image in us. Wipe it right out. Don't pass it. Make sure that you're doing the things that God desires, that your life shows His image. What are some of the things that he lists as a part of the earthly nature, as a part of the old man? He starts with sexual immorality, porneia. Pornography is a problem in our world today. He starts with that. It was a problem in his world. A little different. No internet then, I don't think. Who's the guy that, you know, the guy that invented the internet. Elmore, yes. So he wasn't around yet. So he didn't really invent the internet if anyone anymore. The internet was there. It's so easy to get into pornography now because of the internet. But they still had a problem with porneia, with sexual immorality, with taking the good gifts of God and putting it in places where it didn't belong. So he says, get rid of it. Put it to death. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Uncleanness. Anything that stains. Anything that puts a mark on you that is different from what God desires. Get rid of it. Lust. Yes, he has passion here. Now, it's not a bad thing to be passionate in a good sense. I'm passionate about living my life with Christ. But passion in the New Testament is always in the negative. This word is either passion or lust, depending on the translation, but it's always in the negative, and it's The idea is that you're allowing some desire, allowing something that's out there that you're going after to confuse your decision making. It's always used in a bad sense, where you just take your emotions and let them guide you without any thought as to whether or not it's part of what God wants you to be and do. So, lust or passions directed in an improper way by uncontrolled emotion. Evil desires. Another way to express it is badness. I'm not sure that's a word, but badness. Selfishly not wanting what is best for someone else. Have you ever thought that way? Okay, I don't want them to have this. That's not good. That's an evil desire. It's thinking something that you shouldn't think. Badness, evil desires, and greed. Always wanting more. Greed. Not being content with what God has given you. And Paul says, which is idolatry. Thirsting after the things of this world rather than in the things of God. Being greedy yields to covetousness, yields to sin. Paul says, oh, for godliness plus contentment. Godliness with contentment is a means of great gain. You'll find people who are very, very happy, living on very little. And you'll find people who are very unhappy, living on much, but always wanting more. Greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. God will judge the earth. We often like to think of the New Testament God as this loving God, and then the Old Testament God, here's this over and over, the Old Testament God is the God of judgment. The New Testament God is so loving and caring. And well, I see a loving God in the Old Testament, and I see a loving God in the New Testament. I see a God who abhors evil and will bring judgment upon evil in the Old Testament. I see a God who abhors evil and will bring judgment upon evil in the New Testament. The difference, the only difference, is that the promises of the Old have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and we can know who our Savior is. We can know the one to whom we need to turn in order not to suffer that wrath that God will bring. God will bring judgment on the earth. Before he ushers in the new heavens and the new earth, he will bring judgment upon the earth, and people will be cast into the eternal fire. We need to turn to Christ now. We need to believe in him while we still can, to know that he is our Savior and our Lord. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. God abhors evil, and he will bring judgment upon evil. But he has also given us a way out. He has given us Christ, for whom we can live. Christ, to whom we can look for our salvation and our righteousness. And Paul says, don't get high and mighty about the people around you. Look, they're sexually immoral. Look, they have impurity. They have evil desires. Now Paul says, you used to walk in these ways. You used to walk in these ways. Gentle reminder, not only did you used to walk in these ways, make sure you're still not walking in these ways. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but you're not that person anymore. If you are in Christ, you have a new reason for being. You have become someone new, and you need to live in that way. Put to death those things which belong to your old life, and put on the new things. Then he says, rid yourself. Got the page turned here. Verse 8. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Rid yourselves. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she had her daughter there, and she said, Kathy came out the other day, and she was wearing clothes that she played with all day of the day before, and they were just filthy. And she came out wearing those clothes. And anyone have kids that sometimes will do that, where they bring out the dirty clothes, the ones that are all stained. Well, the word that Paul uses here is the word for taking off your clothes. Now, a lot of us walk around with all those stained clothes on, with the stains of anger, of rage, of malice, of slander, of filthy language. A lot of us walk around, a lot of people in our world walk around with those clothes on. When we become a believer in Jesus Christ, we need to take off those clothes. We need to change clothes. We take off those old things. And it's more than just taking it off and just sort of keeping it by your side and holding on to it. It's putting it away. Take it off and put it away. Get it out of there. Rid yourself. Having taken off those dirty clothes, take it off. What kinds of things does it take off? Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Now, anger and rage, it's hard to say the difference between those two. One might be denoting just that anger that you have is sort of a bitterness that yields anger in your heart as you're going from day to day. And the other one might be the blow-up type of anger, where things build up and you just let off steam and blow up. But both of those are things that we need to take on, that we need to put away. Never harbor in your heart something that is making you angry at someone else. Deal with it. Put it away. Never let anger stay there. Never let bitterness stay there. The root of bitterness will spring up and cause trouble if you let it be a part of your life. Put away anger and rage. This is malice. Doing bad things to other people. Hurting other people. Slander, saying bad things about them. Working with young people in the middle school, I was primarily in the middle school. And it was interesting that whenever someone started to feel sort of left out or bad about themselves, they picked someone else that they could say something about, that they could put down, so that they would feel lifted a little bit higher. I see that happening many times in our world, where we put someone else down so that we feel better about ourselves. That's slander. Never get into that. And filthy language from your lips. Now, most people that are a part of the church, when we have a fellowship dinner today, we probably won't hear too many swear words down there. Hopefully. I go to other places when I was repping. It's funny how sometimes, reps will get into a room and they'll start talking and just about every other word is a swear word. And then when people find out what I do, sometimes they say, "Oh, sorry." they apologize for swearing, and then they start looking back into it after a while. But the fact is that our world out there, you'll hear it all the time. Filthy language from your mouth. Like people are in that song, Anything Goes, it says that writers have replaced ordinary language with four-letter words. Well, that's happened a lot in our society. You go to a lot of places, and you walk down, and now I'm bringing Peter down to a place in Johnson City where if he walks down the street, he's going to hear a lot of filthy language on his way up to the bus. It's just commonplace. Well, that's part of what we need to put. That's not who we are in Christ. Our language should change. Our language should be that which honors our God. We should have more creativity in our language than just putting in the four-letter words, every other word. The filthy language from our lips is part of that thing that we take on and put aside and make sure it's not a part of our lives. And then the final imperative, those three imperatives were the put to death, rid yourselves, take it off, and do not lie. Now, why do you separate lying? You know, he's got all of these other things that we, it's going to be a part of our life, but he separates lying as a distinct imperative here. Do not lie. And the word is not just an out and out lie, it's any deception. Any place that we're trying to deceive someone, where we're trying to put on something that's false about ourselves. Is there such a thing as a white lie? Well, you might call something a white lie, but guess what? It's still wrong. Is there something like getting around the truth? Is that okay? Well, if you're trying to deceive someone, it's wrong. It's not part of who your God is. God doesn't deceive us. God tells us the truth. He tells us the truth about ourselves. We are sinners in need of a Savior. We cannot stand before Him on our own, but then He gives us the way out. He gives us His only Son so that we can trust in Him and trust in His righteousness. Do not lie. Don't deceive others. And especially, I think, don't deceive others in who you are. Many will come to church week by week by week, but never truly understand the truth of God in Christ. We need to make sure that we're not deceiving either others or ourselves into thinking that we believe in Jesus Christ. We need to tell the truth both to ourselves and to others so that we know where we stand and who we are in our thoughts and our words and our actions. Do not lie. Tell the truth. Do not deceive. And then he says, since you have taken off your old self, again, it's that image of clothes, changing your clothes. You take off the old self, you put that old self away, and you put on the new self. You clothe yourself with the righteousness of Christ. You put on the new self. You've taken off the old self with its practices, and you put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. The wonder is that God changes us. He doesn't just give us Jesus Christ, to whom we can look for our salvation, and He doesn't end there. He changes us. He sanctifies us. He changes our hearts so that we can live for Him. He works in us so that we can put into practice the things that He's calling us to do. He changes us. We are being renewed in knowledge in the image of our Creator. And we need to see that happening in our lives. And as we do that, all the walls are broken down. All the walls, whether they be ethnic or religious or cultural or status in our society, all those walls are broken down. Our former identities don't matter because Christ is all and in all. Look at verse 11. Here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. We all share a common identity. Are we individuals within that? Yes. God has made us each differently, and He has given us a different thing to do. But we all share in the identity of Christ. Christ is all and in all. So as you leave from here, make sure that the old is put to death. Death to the old. Those things that are part of your old life are put away. They're taken off, like changing your clothes. Put away And then you put on the new, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of your Creator. The image of God in us can be restored through the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. Look to Him and make sure that you are displaying Him to the world that is around you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you came to us. We thank you that we no longer are those who are just stained by sin and those who deserve your judgment.